Alti, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria and Switzerland.
I welcome you to today's Alti interview about diversification with emerging market debt. Our specialist and interview partner is the head of fixed income strategies at State Street Global Advisors. It is my pleasure to introduce you to David Fury. Hello, David. Nice to talk to you today.
Hey, Christian. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
David, in one sentence, please tell us about you and your business.
My name is David Fury. I'm an investment strategist with State Street Global Advisors, the large U.S. asset manager. And my focus is on emerging markets and specifically how they should be incorporated into investors' long-term portfolios.
How do you define emerging markets and which ones are currently attractive?
Sure. So emerging markets are obviously those markets that are less developed than developed markets. And for fixed income investors, there's two broad categories of those. There's local emerging markets, which are in local currency, and then there's hard currency emerging markets, which are typically borrowing in US dollars. That's a very important distinction for fixed income investors, because each of those types of emerging markets have very different characteristics and risks and return drivers. So again, local currency markets are those markets where countries and companies are borrowing in their local currency, and then hard currencies where they're borrowing in dollars. Typically, local markets are a little higher quality. They're a little further along in their development program. Therefore, they have a banking system. They have pension schemes. They have insurance companies, natural buyers of local debt. Consequently, local emerging markets tend to have a well-defined local bond market, a yield curve, and also importantly, a freely floating currency. Hard currency markets, on the other hand, are those countries where they don't have a local market to borrow from, or certainly not one that's deep enough to satisfy their needs. So they have to come to international markets like the US dollar bond market and also the European bond market. So those countries tend to be a little riskier in nature. As I like to say to our investors, it's everything from Azerbaijan to Zambia. There's about 75 countries in the hard currency markets, whereas there's only about 20 countries in the local currency markets.
It is argued that investors should focus on equity markets in the current environment and search for yield. Why should investors incorporate emerging market debt in their portfolio?
Well, there's push and pull factors there. When we look at the investment landscape today, we can see, particularly after this latest round of quantitative easing, the degree of distortion that we've seen in the markets, of developed markets. That's where we've got, low to negative bond yields in core Europe, in Japan, and very low yields elsewhere in the world. So, therefore, typical asset allocation, fixed income asset allocations, aren't really going to provide investors with the returns that they got in the past. So as investors reach for yield, emerging market debt is a natural place to move to. The reason investors have been reluctant to allocate to EMD has really been around some of the volatility and some of the risks that are inherent there. But we see emerging market debt as being part of the solution, where overall fixed income allocations to developed markets are being seriously challenged today. So by that I mean, obviously they have a higher yield. Also, they have attractive diversification benefits. Now, when I think of diversification, you can measure that as a number in terms of correlation. And these markets, by their nature, are lowly correlated to the rest of your portfolio. So that means they benefit from that. But also, when I think of diversification, I think of intuitive diversification. You're getting away from low growth, high debt, low inflation countries into countries that have, higher debt, higher growth potential, and of course, slightly higher inflation. So overall, we believe that EM it should form part of that overall portfolio, particularly in an environment where the core of your portfolio is essentially broken and doesn't give you any income. In fact, is a drag on income in your portfolio because of negative yields.
How do emerging market government bonds compare to developed market government bonds from a risk and return perspective?
The landscape has really changed here. By that I mean, developed market government bonds now have very low yields and very high duration, as governments have borrowed for longer at these lower rates. So that means that the risks within developed market portfolios are very poorly rewarded at the moment. And should we get an inflation shock in developed markets, there's very little cushion to protect investors from that. So from a developed markets perspective, we've not only got very low and in some cases negative yields. When we adjust those yields for inflation, they're even lower again. So that means that there's a very unattractive outlook for the return potential of developed market bonds. When we compare that to emerging market bonds, they have yields in local currency of around 4 to 5%. Now, we need to adjust that for inflation, which in EM has actually been quite well contained, and we come out with a real yield of around 2%. That compares to a negative real yield in developed markets of around -1% to -2%. So from on a relative basis, quite attractive from that yield and real yield perspective. And they are key to the return potential in the future. From a risk perspective, investors consider DM bonds to be risk-free. However, with duration as high as it is and inflation premium as low as they are, that means that should we get a shock there, now this might be some time off, but nevertheless, government bonds in developed markets provide very poor reward for additional risks. And those premium, as I mentioned earlier, are distorted by QE, etc. Now, having said that, EM government bonds do have risks inherent in them, but some of those vulnerabilities have been well managed in recent times. We've got pretty good policy actions. We've got inflation that's trending down. Now, EM is not without its risks, but overall, we've seen an improvement, I would say, in how EM markets in general have been managed. Now, the COVID crisis has obviously thrown a major challenge to emerging governments, and that remains a serious headwind for them in the months and years ahead. However, relative to DM bonds, we still see a place for emerging sovereign bonds in your portfolio. Put it this way, zero is not the right allocation, and many investors across Europe have a zero to a very low allocation to emerging market bonds in their portfolios today.
Active management is sometimes not the right approach to perform well in those markets. What is a better way to gain exposure in emerging market debt?
Indeed, it is a very challenging exposure to manage from an active perspective. And the evidence speaks for itself. Whether you look at Morningstar or eVestment or some of the S&P Dow Jones index analysis, you can see that active management in emerging markets is very challenging. I've written some papers on this, and I'd be happy to share those with your clients in due course. But the point is, when investors look at emerging market debt, what they want to capture is the overall return potential of the market. When they go with an active manager, there are high fees, and there are obviously performance challenges to delivering the overall index performance. And we've seen a tremendous growth in our book of business. We manage approximately 30 billion of dedicated EM assets at the moment. And that's all grown predominantly in the last 3 to 4 years as investors have moved away from active and moved into indexing. The reason for that, there are challenges to active, but there's also attractions to indexing. When investors look at emerging market debt, they want to gain that return potential. However, when they go with active, either through fees or through challenging performance results or a lack of consistency in those results, they're not really getting what they want out of the asset class. And that's where an index solution comes in. And we've developed our own investment process that, you know, seeks to deliver the index performance as efficiently as possible. So, you know, people call it passive, but it's not actually passive. It's quite active in nature in terms of being dynamic and being selective. But it's very passive in terms of its risk. We control our risks very tightly. And therefore, we're seeing a growth in long-term investors who want to essentially harness the return potential of emerging market debt, but want to do it very efficiently through an indexing approach. Its indexing approaches are quite transparent. They're also quite reliable because we're not taking major strategic macro bets within our portfolios. We are constructing the portfolio that we believe will deliver the performance of the benchmark. So that's really why investors are coming to index managers like ourselves. We've been able to deliver the index performance that they're expecting in a very efficient and cost-effective way.
What are the chances and the risks of the index concept?
Sure. So in an indexing strategy, the objective is to deliver the performance of the benchmark as efficiently as possible. In fixed income markets, unlike equity markets, fixed income markets are quite unstructured. Okay, and if you think about it, a company or a country will have multiple bonds of different maturities and different liquidity, whereas in an equity market, there will only be one equity, and the trading of that equity takes place on an exchange, such that the pricing transparency is very, very clear. So in exposures like equities that are liquid and transparent and traded on exchange, investors can replicate. They can replicate the index components almost identically and deliver the performance of the index very well. That's simply not the case in indexing because it's a very unstructured market and it isn't traded on exchange, it's traded over the counter, which means I have to go and find a buyer or a seller of bonds that I'm trying to trade. So the liquidity in fixed income is quite elusive in certain exposures. That means we need to sample. So in sampling, it's essentially controlling the risk dimensions that we're taking, but not very actively. So we have very tight risk controls, but we have some latitude to construct the portfolio in a sensible way. By that I mean, if a company has 10 bonds in existence, if you were to replicate that, you would buy all 10 bonds. But the cost of doing that would be very high. So what we would do is we'd come into the market, do a relative value analysis on those 10 bonds and pick a representative sample that can deliver the performance of those 10 bonds in the most efficient way. And therefore, we're not going to pay over the odds for that exposure. We're going to deliver it in an efficient way within the portfolio. And that's a continuous process. So if bonds 3 and 4 that we bought in my example begin to, you know, get rich relative to bonds 8 and 9, we can do that switch just like an active manager would do. But the important thing is we're managing all of those risk dimensions in a very tight and controlled way. So indexing in fixed income, it's quite it's quite an evolved and technical and sophisticated process. But the objective overall is to deliver the index return, as I said, you know, as reliably and as efficiently as possible. And that requires this sampling approach rather than a replicating approach. And we're seeing increasing interest in this from many investors. Think about it today. The ability to add value in some portfolios is very challenging. Risk premia are distorted and investors find it quite challenging. So in many cases, they're looking for the alpha, if you like, to come from asset allocation decisions. And when an investor is allocating across fixed income sectors, having those reliable, efficient indexing buckets, if you like, is a great way to build that exposure. Active managers can do it as well, but with indexing, we're giving you very transparent exposure, and investors like that. Typically as well, we're actually a little more liquid than an active manager. We haven't got concentrated positions in the portfolio. We've actually got a very diversified portfolio. And some of our larger clients, for example, when they move, you know, 50 or 100 million around, we would trade about 200 bonds or 200 tickets to make up that block trade. And therefore, that's a very efficient way to trade in the markets these days, where our counterparties simply don't have the big balance sheet to offer out or to bid on, you know, large blocks of bonds. So they like our flow. It's quite diversified, it's quite granular, and it's manageable. So consequently, we get very good execution on our indexing portfolios. So that's just a little bit of a flavour in terms of what is indexing and how we deliver a very reliable and efficient result for investors as they try to build the exposure that makes the most sense for them.
What trends are you expecting in the next 2 to 3 years in the emerging markets?
We see indexing increasing. If anything, some of the trends we've seen that were in place prior to the pandemic have actually accelerated. Some of those trends would be, you know, the trend towards ESG is very relevant, but also the trend towards indexing. We've seen some of the world's largest fixed income investors increase their allocation to indexing portfolios. They recognize the cost and challenges of active to be able to do that at scale. They also recognize the reliability and efficiency of indexing. So in some cases, managers might have indexing portfolios that complement their active lineup. So, for example, in emerging markets, some active managers might be running quite concentrated illiquid positions. So in order to facilitate both tactical and strategic asset allocation, it makes sense for them to have an indexing portfolio as well. And they can dip into that or allocate to that, you know, as they wish to adjust their asset allocation. Sometimes if they come looking to their corporate bond or emerging market portfolio during those periods of illiquidity, it can be quite challenging. So they can then think of, okay, well, let's go to my indexing portfolio. They'll have, you know, some index, a potential to provide us with additional layers of liquidity there. So, you know, can often be a complement to the overall mix. And indexing, we're getting very sophisticated in our indexing techniques, such that the more complex parts of the market, like emerging markets, like high yield, like corporate bonds, we're able to provide those very, very effectively now in index form. And for institutional investors particularly, they've got their own pool of assets. We can harvest that primary market premium. We can do relative value within those tight risk constraints. We can control costs, and we can deliver them an outcome that's often in excess of the benchmark. So indexing, you know, people criticize indexing because they think that the costs are too high. Well, we've developed our techniques such that the costs aren't high at all, and we can actually add value to subsidize those costs and get investors to a better place. So indexing has a place, we believe, in investors' portfolios, be it to complement their active lineup or simply to get exposure to large parts of the market in a very efficient way.
That was David Fury from State Street Global Advisors on the use of emerging market debt. Thank you for the interesting interview.
ALTI, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. ALTI.com. ALTI.com.